This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies.
Welcome to Healthcare Strategies. This is Kyle Murphy, Vice President of Editorial at Xtelligent Healthcare Media. In today's episode, we sit down with Emily Sokol to discuss research at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, most notably Insights, the company's research division focused on independent research of healthcare professionals. Emily joined Xtelligent in 2019 following the completion of a master's degree in public health from Brown University with a focus on health services, policy, and practice. She now leads the company's research division, Insights. To learn more, visit xtelligentmedia.com/insights. Welcome, Emily.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, so tell us about Insights and the approach you take to research. You know, in your opinion, what sets your approach apart?
So at Insights, we try to take a hybrid approach, sort of an academic and an editorial, like qualitative and a quantitative approach. The goal was to leverage Xtelligent's diverse readership of healthcare professionals across the industry and really understand the real-world challenges that these organizations are facing and identify effective solutions. So from a method standpoint, we field a survey to our readership based on best practices and research guidelines. And then we follow up with participants who have completed the survey, who've indicated that they're willing to speak with us further and complete qualitative interviews. And in this, the goal is to really dive deeper with some leaders in the industry and discuss the why behind some of the quantitative data. So we really want to understand not just the numbers, but also have supporting, you know, firsthand experience to really put meaning behind the numbers. And I think that's something that sets the Insight work apart. Traditionally, academic work sometimes misses the real world steps of how organizations can put forth some of these best practices. And the editorial side of things can sometimes miss numbers and the data to back up their claims. But I think what Insights does really nicely is bridge the gap between those two and sort of merges the academic and the editorial. So we provide the numbers and the data behind the real world practices that organizations are implementing.
All right, so let's talk about some research that's about to be released. So first things first, let's talk about the upcoming release of The Future of Healthcare Moving Beyond 2020, which is slated to be released in early September. You know, what did you find through the course of your research and analysis?
So this work built off of previous work that we had conducted at the end of March, beginning of April 2020. We fielded a survey for about 2 weeks in order to get out quick responses to see how leaders were responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. In that survey, I was actually pretty surprised that we found that a lot of organizations felt very confident in how they were responding to the coronavirus pandemic. Results from that initial survey also highlighted how telehealth was really being leveraged as a solution in order to deal with increased patient flow, higher demand for testing, and also the worried well. So this Future of Healthcare Moving Beyond 2020 report, we really wanted to take the lessons learned from there and see how it was going to impact the future of the industry. So we wanted to see how organizations were taking lessons learned and strategies that they had leveraged during the pandemic in order to plan and start thinking about the future and adjusting to the new normal. This report was one of the most robust that Insights has produced so far. We had a total of 363 leaders who completed our survey. So the latest report highlighted four key areas. It was organizations, COVID response and recovery, telehealth, value-based care, and the patient experience. And I can give you sort of a broad overview of the key takeaways from those four areas. With the COVID response, the first report indicated that there was a high level of confidence, and we showed a similar response in May. So sentiment had actually improved slightly by about 7% in confidence about how organizations had responded to the pandemic between March and May. Organizations had also reported that they were pretty ready to take on the new normal. We had less than 1% of all respondents who said that they didn't feel prepared at all for this next step. And that sentiment remained the same across organizational types. So physician groups, hospitals, health systems, and payers all showed a similar level of confidence. But what I thought was really interesting for this section is that despite the confidence that organizations were feeling, there was some uncertainty about when revenue levels were going to restabilize. Overall, 36% of the respondents said that they thought it would take between 7 months and a year for their revenue levels to stabilize after the pandemic, and another 22% said it could take between 1 and 2 years. So it's pretty powerful that over 50% of respondents said that they didn't anticipate their revenue levels restabilizing for quite a bit of time. Despite this, though, organizations still felt confident that they were going to be financially stable moving forward. So if I had to interpret this sort of discrepancy in the data, I would say that it really articulates sort of an optimism that the industry feels, despite having a lack of a concrete path. There's a willingness to stabilize and return back to normal, but a little bit of uncertainty about the direct path that organizations need to take to this. The second area that the report focused on was telehealth. And I think it's pretty undeniable that telehealth has played a really big role in the pandemic response. Stay-at-home orders meant patients were coming less frequently into physician offices, but they still needed to seek care. So telehealth was a very simple solution to that problem. So it was pretty unsurprising that our research found that many organizations were focusing their future investments on telehealth and infrastructure that would support telehealth. And many of them also advocated for regulatory flexibilities that had been made lenient in response to the pandemic to continue. Every telehealth flexibility that we had asked about, there was a pretty robust support for it. So that included, 79% of respondents saying that they wanted more authorized types of providers to deliver telehealth services to remain in place. Another 78% said that they wanted expanded telehealth modalities to remain the same. 77% called for improved Medicare reimbursement, and another 75% wanted improved remote patient monitoring. So while that's a lot of numbers, I think, the high percentage really highlights how the relaxed flexibilities have allowed telehealth to grow, and this is something that industry leaders like and they want to maintain. So when you're able to knock down some of these key barriers, you're able to allow the telehealth services to grow. The report also dives into telehealth programs that leaders expect to grow, investments that they plan to make in order to ensure the growth, and the role that telehealth vendors will play in this conversation. But I want to shift and move on to the value-based care part of the report as well. So we know over the past several years, particularly since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, that alternative payment models have really taken off. The industry is realizing fee-for-service reimbursement is pretty unsustainable. But with the pandemic, it's really impacted the ability for organizations to have these value-based contract conversations. Organizations had to shift their resources to managing the pandemic instead of leveraging these innovative payment models. But was, I think, optimistically surprising is that there was a general sentiment we found amongst our respondents that the pandemic might actually be the push that the industry needs to further move away from fee-for-service and towards value-based care models. So the thought here is that organizations in fee-for-service arrangements really struggled at the start of the pandemic when patient volume declined, but organizations who were in more advanced value-based arrangements like capitation didn't have the same level of stress over their finances, and they had a more stable revenue stream. One of the qualitative interviewees for this report actually had a quote that I really liked. During the follow-up discussion, he said, "COVID is just a blip. We're seeing delays in providers adopting value-based contracts, but as it gets worked out, providers will be more on board. Long-term value-based care is the way to go, and providers are going to see that." So I think that quote in particular really highlights the optimism that value-based conversations are something that are going to continue. Might be paused temporarily while the industry handles the pandemic, but it's definitely going to be something that in hindsight we see pushed towards value-based care. So, throughout the pandemic, patient experiences obviously look different. More patients are seeing their doctors through video screens and over the phone, but we really wanted to look at how leaders anticipate this impacting future care. Are patients going to be more hesitant to go into the provider office, or are they going to be more engaged with their care after the pandemic? And what we found was actually a mixed response. No one was really sure exactly how patients were going to respond. We had about 29% of respondents thinking that patients will focus more on preventative care moving forward, while 28% thought that patients would focus more on emergent needs. So I think, to get on my public health soapbox for a second, I think this really highlights the need for health education and improved public health messaging, because it could be very easy for patients to be skeptical about seeking healthcare services, but that could be absolutely detrimental. You know, you're delaying care, you're getting later diagnoses when diseases are more dangerous and more costly to treat. So I think that in order to ensure that the current situation doesn't have negative long-term impacts on patient care, we really need to make sure that there's clear and culturally appropriate messaging for patients in order to know where and when to effectively seek care. And honestly, I think that that might be the most important message of the report, because if patients are wary to seek care, or they're untrusting to seek care, or just uncertain about how to do it, there could be really long-term health and financial impacts across the industry.
So Insight's first report was the value-based care assessment published at the end of 2019. Earlier this year, you released provider perceptions of value-based care, and you're in the process of finalizing payer perceptions to be released this fall. What do we understand about the current state of value-based care and what to expect moving forward?
Yeah, so the first report that we had put out, the value-based care assessment, was intended to be an annual report where we examine perceptions of value-based care across the industry. So we wanted to understand how confident organizations were in implementing these various value-based care models, the needs that they had in order to better succeed, and how it was going to impact organizations' financial well-being and patient health outcomes. The initial value-based care assessment, we found three key takeaways from the survey. The first was that many organizations were still heavily relying on fee-for-service reimbursement. The second was that even though there's been a lot of buzz around moving towards value-based reimbursement, many of the models that were currently in place were similar to fee-for-service. So work that I had found done by Chi and colleagues in a 2016 edition of Circulation described healthcare reimbursement as a spectrum. And I think that this is really important to articulate the results of the value-based care assessment, because on one end you have fee-for-service reimbursement models, and on the other end you have models such as capitation or provider-sponsored plans. And as you move along the spectrum from fee-for-service to capitation, there's inherently more risk that providers take on. But what we found in our survey results is that the industry is still largely skewed towards the fee-for-service reimbursement end of the spectrum. So there's a willingness to move, but we're still sort of stuck on one end of the spectrum. And then the final takeaway that we had seen is that a majority of healthcare professionals believe that value-based reimbursement is going to positively impact their organization's financial health, and they plan to participate in downside financial risk models within the next 5 years, but their confidence in this ability to assume that risk is mixed. And I think this highlights a theme that I had emphasized in the Future of the Industry report, is that there's a great optimism and confidence in organizations' willingness to move and make these changes towards better, but there's challenges around the actual implementation and making these come to fruition. So in this report, in the value-based care assessment, we also had conducted a focus group with 13 individuals from payer and provider organizations throughout the industry, and they participated in a conversation about the survey results. And one of the most surprising things that came out to me throughout that conversation was that payers and providers really weren't on the same page. This was the first time that some of these parties were in the same room together. So they expressed a lot of struggle in communication. You know, providers were frustrated that they weren't being a part of this conversation that was going to impact how they were delivering care, and payers were frustrated that they didn't even know who should be sitting at the table. So that conversation from the initial value-based care assessment really highlighted the need to get providers and payers on the same page, as the two biggest players in this sphere and the ones who are going to make that shift towards value-based care possible. You know, they really needed to align on their goals and values. So in these reports and the provider perceptions, we ask providers particularly about their challenges to partnering with payers. We look at their level of trust with payers, how aligned they feel with their goals, and their level of communication. And then in the payer, we did the exact opposite. So we asked payers how they felt about their relationship with providers and what tools and strategies they should be leveraging in order to help that relationship grow and align goals in order to succeed in value-based care. And I think all three of these reports really highlight, first, how the parties aren't on the same page, but, you know, to put an optimistic twist on it, I'm hoping that this acts as sort of a springboard for the two parties to really understand how to have these effective conversations. You know, a provider can pick up the payer report and say, wow, I didn't know that my payers really wanted more patient engagement strategies for me. And the provider can pick up the payer report and say, I had no idea that my payer wished that I was contacting them weekly instead of quarterly. So hopefully this will be eye-opening and sort of the first step in helping those two parties become aligned.
So last question here. So what's ahead for Insights to close out 2020? And where can listeners learn more about your research?
Yeah, so we have a couple of things coming up for the end of 2020. We have, in addition to the future of the industry moving beyond 2020 that's set to go live in early September, we have four more reports slated. The first is that payer perceptions of value-based care that I had already talked about. The second one will be focusing on social determinants of health. So we've seen across the industry, you know, organizations are beginning to really understand the importance of these non-clinical factors that can impact a patient's health, things like access to healthy food, transportation, and housing. So this work is aiming to highlight some of the common barriers to implementing these strategies and discuss how organizations are overcoming those challenges to effectively address the social determinants of health in their patient population. The next report will focus on connected care with a particular emphasis on security and privacy challenges that organizations are facing as they roll out these connected care platforms and tools. So the rise in telehealth has really highlighted the importance of having these tools and these platforms, but there are regulations that are continuously changing and strategies that need to take place in order to protect patient privacy. So the goal of this survey is to really understand how organizations are managing this new technology and staying up to date. And then the last report will be the value-based care assessment for the second year in a row. And the goal here will be to really compare this year's results with the first year's results, mindful obviously of how the pandemic might make this data a little wonky, but we really want to understand, you know, how the industry is moving forward, or are we moving forward and making meaningful steps towards value-based care. All of these can be found at exdiligentmedia.com/insights. The three reports that are currently live are there, and then Future of the Industry Moving Beyond 2020 will be available at the beginning of September on there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Anytime.
And before we sign off, a question for our listeners. What are some key next steps the industry needs to take moving beyond 2020? Read our upcoming report and tell us your thoughts by sharing this episode on Twitter and tagging us at ExdiligentHC. Thank you for listening.
This has been an Exdiligent Healthcare Media production.